Welcome to the Powerful Women podcast. In our podcast series, we feature leading women in the energy sector. And today we're delighted to have two successful and inspiring women, Laura Sands and Susan Morris, in conversation.
Susan, I tell you what, when I met you, I was just sort of blown away. You really can't keep a good woman down, huh? And when we met with all those young aspiring geologists and all the rest of it. I mean, do you feel that working with young people and working with young women who are excited about our sector, isn't that really inspiring for you?
It absolutely is. But I've also got to say, when I saw you on the stage, just before you went up on the stage, you literally leapt up on the stage full of energy and knowing your information, your facts about statistics, about women's empowerment and what they can do to not just the energy sector, but the whole, let's just say, the whole business of living across the board. So I'm delighted and honoured to be here with you today.
Can I just say, I think it's great. And it's wonderful to hear about your career because, I mean, starting as a geologist at Trinity Dublin and then ending up running this exciting, dynamic corporation in Belize. How did that journey happen? What were the steps, the big steps that were taken? Sounds really exciting.
Well, there were a couple of ones that sound pretty normal.
Yeah.
I did what I loved. I loved the rocks. I loved nature and dancing around the Giant's Causeway and places like that. Went to Trinity. Wasn't really a scientist, so I came more from the imagination of geology. And luckily enough, it's not an exacting science. So you can sort of fill in the dots yourself, which was a wonderful exercise for the mind. Fell totally in love with Belize and Belizeans when I was asked to go to see if there was any oil there by actually a well-known English chap called Sir Ian Rankin. And went down, knew in my heart there was oil, but there were 50 dry holes. So everybody told me there is no way, no way, Jose, as they said, no oil. But I knew it was there. And secondly, I got this passion, extra passion and purpose, because I fell in love with the people and wanted to be a part of that transformation.
So it was as much about the country. And in some way, I'm saying, do you think that sometimes women are pretty good when they're told that it's impossible, that they can't do something, that there's a barrier up there? There seems to be this sort of real fighting spirit about trying to prove people wrong, maybe prove men wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't just say it was men. I'd say there's a fighting spirit. And mainly it's men in the oil business. But I just knew in my heart, my gut feel, that intuition, that I was meant to be there, and it wasn't just about the oil. It was about the real energy, that energy in all of us. And I felt like a pioneer.
Mm-hmm. And you were, and you've built something really exciting and sustainable. But also, in many ways, you've created a business that must be a real pipeline and sort of sense of opportunity for people in Belize.
Big time. Firstly, it was built by a Belizean man, Mike Usher and myself, who had this dream. We went along and understood, because we'd tried for about 15 years to find oil. But it wasn't until we had put our ducks in a row, actually, lined up that understanding of the mind. How does our mind work? What holds us back as women or men? Mm. What's that doubt? And what's that fire and energy that can lead us out? So we went to a seminar. It was about 16 years ago, actually, now, and immediately set up Belize Natural Energy. Still, nobody would believe there was oil. None of the normal oil companies came in with us into the joint venture. So we came back to Ireland and the UK, and 76 little Irish, Northern Irish investors came with us. They believed in the power of belief, actually.
Yes, I'm sure.
Mike then died. He was the Belizean, and I named the first well the Mike Usher Number One. We kept going. We didn't even have enough money for maybe one well. And statistically in the oil industry, wildcats, that's high-risk wells, you have to drill 15 before you hit. So the odds weren't looking too good for us. But we had a passion and a spirit that was indomitable. Nobody could have held us back. And off we set and we started to drill. And on the 24th of June 2005, on the first well, in a huge license block, 500,000 yes. acres, the first choice, we hit not just ordinary oil, but oil so sweet it still goes into the generators without refining.
My God.
Then, about 3 days later, of course, we were celebrating, the government, everybody was with us. I realised that the day that Mike had passed prematurely was exactly to the day, the 24th of June 2004, we had discovered oil for the first time in Belize on the anniversary of his death 1 year later.
My God, so that's a real tribute to him. And
he's with us yes. every day. We've drilled the Mike Usher number one, number two. We're on the Mike Usher number 22.
But that tenacity, and as you rightly say, you've just got so much energy and it must have just really inspired those investors. So what were the challenges that you felt trying to persuade them? And did they have a sort of perception of a woman running a oil and gas company that sort of created maybe intrigue as well as questions?
If they had any perception about a woman, they didn't tell me or I didn't
sure.
hear it. Because we were one force, one vision. And this is an important thing. Developing your visionary mm-hmm. capacity and sharing it with the group going forward. The country, the people, our investors. And to me, that's what Powerful Woman is about. Sharing that capacity that's within all of us,
yes.
but to share it and bring young women forward into and beyond their own limiting mindsets so that they too can live the life of their dreams.
Live their dreams like you have.
Exactly.
Susan, we set up Powerful Women to really support women in the energy sector to get to a much greater sort of diversity at senior levels, but also support young women through their careers. I just wonder what sort of your observations are, what you think we could do more of, and how important you think it is for the energy sector to really embrace women's careers as much as they have done men's.
Well, there's a very important fact which I only found out about thanks to Powerful Women Statistics and the studies you've been doing. And that is the more women involved at managerial levels, the more profit is made.
Absolutely.
I mean, now that's a bottom line that everybody can see. Now, there's so much more in that than that sheer fact. I would also say that statistically, we can go to 50% faster.
Yes.
Not just 40%, whatever that statistic was.
Yes.
And I think we need to probably understand and get out the common vision even more so that let's just say that energy is going forward to create a better industry, a more profitable industry.
Totally.
But a more, as you and I have pointed out, a more caring industry. And I don't mean in a soft, caring way. I mean in a way that's making a difference to the people of a country. That's the public-private partnerships that are wanted throughout the world. Not, it's all for me, let's go.
Not slam and grab and
exactly.
all the rest of it.
Exactly.
So you're throwing a challenge to us that we need to get faster and further on our targets.
Absolutely. And I'll help in any way.
Fantastic. Thank you. But you talk also a lot about this creative vision, sense of passion. These are words that aren't very often associated with the energy sector, despite the energetic nature of it. But it's not necessarily part of what I would call the corporate culture of some of the big oil and gas companies. It must be very inspiring for people working with you. What do you feel women can learn from your sort of leadership, which might be different from others?
I think you've hit the nail on the head that's even more important than the discovery of oil. And in B&E, we call it the oil within, that energy, that creativity within ourselves, men and women, actually, coming forward to be that beacon. So not only is B&E a beacon for the oil industry because we're working holistically with the love of the land, the love of the people, the love of the planet coming forward and making a huge difference. People come to the company and say, this is beautiful, but where's the oil? So it's flowers everywhere and things like that. But it's more than that because we actually won the Global Get Energy Educational Award in 2017, beating 50 countries in the localization sector. And I think this is where women are great at leading. It's not just about the oil. It's not just about the money. It's actually about the team spirit, about the potential of the people, about a whole country rising up. And that was our vision. Our vision was just that.
And also, as you rightly say, that need to have values as a company, the need to have values beyond the balance sheet. And I think that women do look for roles and companies that actually can be more than just the financial return and the bonus at the end of the year. And that seems to be much of your ethos.
It's totally the ethos because the money comes. But if you put life and change and purpose and vision at the top, if the whole thing comes, there's no point getting as rich and then you look around and go, oh, where's the happiness? And that's exactly what you're talking about. It's about that fulfillment, that passion, that energy. We're all in the energy business.
And then when you look at young women and their careers starting, the oil and gas sector, the wider energy sector, what do you feel, how would you inspire them to say that it's a really exciting place to be and with opportunity? Because I think sometimes we're finding some of the young women coming forward are feeling that it's still the very, not necessarily masculine, but male, but it's a very macho environment. What do you, how would you respond?
Well, I came to the science of geology from actually quite an artistic background. And so maybe it is, don't be afraid to be a contrarian, to get out there and walk your path, but understand, get to understand yourself, the true nature of you, what you're about. And you'll find out that your capacity is unlimited. And if it takes you down a path of wanting to invent a whole new energy system, well, that's brilliant because we need that too. So that's what I would say, connect.
And as we're looking at the future of energy, which is really where a lot of young women's, you know, careers will reside, it's changing so dramatically, isn't it? And it's really, really exciting. I mean, I certainly feel that we need different sorts of skills than we've had in the past, much more 360-degree skills rather than linear technical. I mean, we need the technical as well. But it's about looking at different business models. And I really do hope companies understand that they need diversity in the widest definition of that to capture those new business models.
Very definitely. And you've hit the nail on the head when you said new business models. The old ones have not worked in many, in probably most sectors. And so there is a desire amongst young people. And as you say, we both met at the Young Professional Summit.
Yes.
About young people coming forward and going, but what's next? I mean, where is my purpose? How does that
fit
in?
Where is the sector going?
Where is this sector going and where am I going? You know, it's a personal question as well as one about the sector.
Yeah.
So you need to answer both because the answer to your true nature, you know, was it Socrates said, know thyself, yes, over 2,000 years ago? What have we been doing? That's a first fundamental step. And that connection with yourself into that pathway that really makes a difference for others is where the passion, the purpose, and the privilege of life leads.
And also, I think certainly when we look at the energy sector, it's been disrupted everywhere. And in many ways, what I think is certainly important when we look at the progression of women in the sector is that sometimes they feel they have to comply with the so-called corporate culture or the corporate thinking, when actually the sector needs creativity, needs vision, and in some ways it needs challenge. And I just feel that that level of diversity that is a little lacking in the sector could actually save it and create much more resilient companies.
And to totally say yes to all of that, plus if you can't find a company that does all the aspects that you're saying, set up your own. Be an entrepreneur. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've done it too.
Good. And it is the feeling of walking the talk. Yes, yeah. You can have bumpy times and maybe, you have to be tight on the pennies. But actually sleeping on the floor in Belize, which I did at the beginning, I mean, that's all part of the journey, part of the development of resilience, part of the dream.
Yeah, and it's the adventure of life.
That's the adventure of life, exactly.
But it's quite interesting you say that, and I think we have quite similar sort of approaches to life, as both sort of being quite entrepreneurial and happy to take risks. I mean, is there advice that you would give to some of maybe the more traditional chief executives of some of the energy companies when they're looking at the team below them? Sometimes one suspects that they're just really promoting people who look like them. Do we not need to inspire and challenge them to be a little bit more adventurous with their team and with their businesses?
Yeah, I think many, let's just say, more classical type of job description professionals have actually had to look at themselves.
Very polite.
very diplomatic. They've had to look at themselves due to price downfalls. Quite often they've been let go. And that will be a shake-up, that they can decide to look at themselves and say, how can I now learn from this? Or blame it on the price of oil.
Yeah. They've got to own their future. And in some ways, having more business models, different diversity of reaching the market requires new skills, because sometimes you feel it's quite linear, it's quite contained. And I would have thought some good, feisty women might actually help shake things up.
Well, I think they are.
I think you have.
I can see the twinkle in your eye. I think yes, there's a shake-up, and we also, just common sense, don't rely on the price of, for instance, oil. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to ride the roller coaster up and down. Have a look at sideways moves into, for instance, we develop propane and butanes, cooking gas for the local markets. We bring it around and make electricity, and we're working on all sorts of what I would say, value chain added.
Yes, well, that's absolutely key.
And it's even things like bath salts. Now, most of the men wouldn't have thought of exfoliation and bath salts, but actually they thought it was a jolly good idea, because salty water comes up with oil and gas.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So it's opening your mind to the possibilities of maybe being a spa company as well as an oil company.
I love it. The gas bath salts. I think that's brilliant.
Yes.
But I mean, again, that takes a different sort of mindset, and also a mindset that's prepared to take risk for things to go right, for things to go wrong. And I think we are in a sector that expects everything to go right 100% of the time. And actually, maybe we don't explore by making mistakes, by sort of experimenting.
I think we actually don't tell people about our mistakes. There's plenty of mistakes that are out there. A number of years ago, a number of the majors went into solar, etc. And it didn't really work. So they're back into the oil and gas, make sure the bottom line gets up. And then now the sector is having a really good look at what's the balance.
Yeah.
I say, and I suspect you might, the renewable of all renewables is that innovative energy within us to create new energies, to create new means of communication, to find an energy business which is holistic, which is all-encompassing and totally uses our human unlimited potential.
Yeah. And when you meet sort of your peers in the energy sector, how many of you are women and sort of, I mean, it must be a very small number. And do you see some of those companies now with their next layer of executives coming through with diverse executive teams?
Some of the high-level, real pioneers in the industry, majors or large independents, etc., have the elements that we're talking about, but they just haven't found a way to replicate it amongst their people. You know, I'm thinking of an Elon Musk.
Yes.
You know, Tesla. That's a cool car. He's breaking down those barriers. But we need much, much more and much faster. So back to that educational system at the core of a company that will scientifically replicate the understanding so that it's not just random that someone like an Elon Musk can be a great inventor of a new idea. It's that everybody in our business innately captures that spirit that they were born with instead of it being diluted. So it's actually a missing key in education.
Right. But then it's also, isn't it a missing key in some companies' leadership in the sense of actually identifying those people, and whether they be women or not, but frequently women will also bring in a different dimension. But they should they not be identifying different sorts of talent within their teams and promoting them?
Yes. And if they can't identify them, maybe they need to think about what the new leadership is, because the new leadership is actually leading from within. It's not necessarily the old-fashioned leadership, but
command and control.
I feel as if we're in that in this box at the moment, but it's actually one of linking with an old-fashioned word, really, our own integrity, our own knowing holistically what is truly right, what feels right inside our bones, if you know what I mean. And kids show us. I've got a grandchild of 5. She shows me the happiness, the spirit, the adventure spirit, and the rightness of each step.
Tell me more about your company, because what sort of management team do you have and how have you got that sort of diversity? I mean, obviously, some great people from Belize do you have? Because it's also a very, very interesting country, both from a diversity of race, but also culture and all the rest of it. Tell us more.
Well, what fascinates oil men is we're 99% Belizean.
Yes.
And, of course, Belize
Fantastic.
Has no energy sector. Nobody had ever discovered oil. So we had to start from the beginning. So we had to actually look at both, firstly, my own doubts. Can I, a wee girl from Belfast, discover the first oil in Belize?
And you did.
That was back to that understanding of my mind. I had to realise that doubt isn't something we're born with. My grandchild has no doubt. And so getting back to that innate quality of one's true nature is number one, and then sharing that across the company so that everybody has that capacity and capability, a real partnership, public-private partnership with the people.
Yes. And tell us more about the teams that you've built in within the company, and have you got some great women coming through?
There are. We were actually, I was at a workshop with one of the first lenders. FMO is a Dutch bank, Dutch Development Bank. And I was at a workshop there. It was maybe 6 years ago. And they said, we have a question in a very Dutch way. We have a question for you. They said, how have you got 50% females?
Fantastic.
And I said, do we? And that's the answer, because it actually...
Oh, no, I agree. It shouldn't matter.
They rose up.
They just were stars.
Yes.
Really, really exciting. I think you're just total inspiration. And somebody who really, you know, can inspire all, particularly young people, to get into the sector.
Yeah.
What do you think, if you were looking at your grandchild, your granddaughter, what would you advise her to do when it's coming into possibly the energy sector? I mean, what do you think we need to do to ensure that she would find it exciting and fulfilling?
Open it way up. Because it's not just oil, gas, solar or wind. It is that energy within us to innovate, to create. So I would...
So do you find it... are you saying it's stodgy, really, a bit?
It's stodgy and limited and can be boring from the outside. It's actually great fun, isn't it? But from the outside, it looks as if it's too tight. I have, you know, totally widened it and formed a company that is the vision that people come from all over the world to see now. Ambassadors from Mexico, from Oman, everywhere come to see what this model is about and how they can have it. Even Nigeria, how they can have it in their countries. Because it's not just about the oil, it's about the people.
Yeah.
That's the energy business. And that's what I would love my grandchild to know about me and to know about the world. And the energy sector.
It's very, very exciting. Thank you so much, Susan. That is a really, really great inspiration for us all. And all I can say is, if you've got any jobs going, I'm up for moving to Belize. I think it's a beautiful part of the world, but also a really exciting company. Thank you.
I would like to add one thing. And I think you're setting up way back in 14, 15, this organization, Powerful Women in Energy, is a platform to really help those that maybe have got a bit stuck or need to be inspired further. And so I'm delighted to be here and especially honoured to be with you who set this very organisation up.
There were lots of us who did it. But yes, thank you so much.